As you know, we're going through a six-week series at the moment, looking at the resurrection words of Jesus, digging into the accounts as we find them in Matthew, Luke, John, and also in Acts of the Apostles. Let's have the next slide, please. And obviously, as we've already said, we're assuming that we know the basic narrative, so rather than having to tell the story, we're looking at the words that Jesus said after he rose from the dead. Let's have the next one, please. So let's look at these words in the light of the resurrection. Yeah. And we've got loads of words this week. It's the first week I've had to use two slides, but we got them on two slides this morning. So these are the words we'll be looking at. Go and tell. Go and make, teach them to obey. Repentance will be preached. You are witnesses. Stay. Now, if you look at those words, can you see it's all to do with this thing about taking this message to others? Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the next one, please. Go to my brothers, my father and your father, my God and your God. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Relating to that word that we had on the other slide, stay, here we've got it again. Do not leave, but wait. You will be my witnesses. So this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. Okay, and the next slide, please. Before we go and dig into the text, I was planning to tell you this at the end, but I'm going to tell you at the beginning, and I might tell you at the end as well. A friend of ours in Watford, she's only a couple of years older than me, and over the last, 8 years or so, she's been extremely ill, and she is no longer able to drive, she's no longer able to work, she really is very, very unwell. And she loves Jesus. And very, very recently she fell down the stairs and she's in hospital. And we found out about this maybe a couple of days later. And we sent a text to her. And knowing how caring she is, I put in my text something like, sorry to hear you're in hospital. Are you looking after the other patients? Because I know that's the kind of person she is. But I have to tell you, I was humbled when I received the reply. Because she said, I've been praying with, not for, with some of the other patients. And our subject this morning is a subject that always makes us feel guilty. The subject of telling other people about Jesus. And we all, whenever I mention this, people get defensive. Even in this lovely church, people get defensive. And I understand why. Because we overcomplicate and we imagine that we're going to have to deliver great long sermons on soapboxes in Bracknell Town Centre or bang on people's doors, explaining the gospel in five steps on the doorstep. But as we read the gospel account of Jesus after his resurrection, he's saying to Mary, to the women, go and tell. He's telling the disciples, go and tell. You can only tell people what you already know. You can only tell people what you've read yourself, what you've experienced yourself. The early message was to just tell, he's alive. I've seen him. He's alive. He's ascending to my Father and your Father. He's ascending to your God, my God, your God. I'm humbled when I think of my dear friend in Watford. With all the other illnesses she's got and now injured because she fell down the stairs. You know what? Good news is for sharing. And we are called to be witnesses. I'm not sure that we're called to be theologians and to explain in all every detail and so on. I believe we're called to be witnesses. Some people are called to be theologians. Some people are called to preach in great detail. But all of us are called to be witnesses. Let's move to the next slide, please. What have you, what have I, what have we learned about Jesus? What has he done for us? Because we're called to be witnesses. Let's move to the next slide, please. You see, if you don't witness to the people you know, if I don't witness to the people I know, it may be that you know people that I don't know, and he knows people that she doesn't know. If we don't witness to the people we know, then who will tell them that Jesus loves them? So let's now move on to our next slide and we'll jump into the text. So starting in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew 28, I want to look at these words that are on the screen for you now. Go and tell, go and make, teach them to obey. So if you want to open your Bibles, we're in Matthew 28 and starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook, and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples." Just be aware here, this is the angel speaking, not Jesus, but in a moment we'll see Jesus speaking as well. The angel saying, come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly, without delay, go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy. That should be our experience, my friends, in this world today. This must surely be the experience of believers in China, North Korea, places where they're being persecuted. Yes, afraid, but filled with joy because of the life and the love that is in Christ Jesus. The women, verse 8, they hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus himself met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So in verse 7, we've seen the angel saying to the women, go and tell his disciples. And now in verse 10, Jesus himself is saying to those same women, go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers. And this raises a question for us as believers. Who needs to hear the good news of the resurrection? Who needs to hear the good news? Us within the church or those outside of the church? Those who are believers, those who are already disciples, brothers and sisters in faith, or those who do not know the Lord? I would suggest, my friends, that both categories need to hear the good news. And this is where all of us come in. Not just the preacher on the Sunday morning, but all of us. Because don't you get it that if we all say to one another, I know it's tough, but Jesus is alive. If we say to each other, I know we've had bad news this week, but I'm trusting in Jesus, the one who loves us. It has more authenticity when it comes from all of us and not just from the one who is preaching at the front. It has more authenticity when all of us are saying, Jesus is alive. Who needs to hear the gospel? For sure, the disciples, the brothers and sisters, the church, they need to hear the good news of Jesus. And yes, the church leaders must be declaring the good news, but all of us also must be in our own way declaring what we have learned and what we have experienced of the Lord. And now moving on, verse 11, we'll see that this news is not only for the church, it's also for those outside of the church. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. Do you understand, my friends, that we are all being called to share the good news of Jesus in the context of a conspiracy in which evil people have deliberately tried to hide the truth? And this is why it's so important that, yes, the apostles and the preachers and the leaders and the teachers are declaring the gospel. But that's why it's so important that individuals are declaring the gospel too. Because there is a conspiracy in our world today that started at the time of the resurrection to tell people this is a lie. And this is why it's important for each one of us to be saying, this is not a lie, this is truth. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Who doubted? Some. Some of whom? Some of the disciples doubted. Do you get it? That's why we need to be encouraging one another. That's why we need to be declaring the gospel of the risen Lord Jesus, the gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins that we're going to talk about in a few moments. That's why we need to be declaring that to each other. Because yes, even some of the disciples back in the day, and even some of us, or perhaps I should say, even all of us on some days, fall into doubt. And that's why we need to encourage each other. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And in the context of some doubting, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Do you get this? Jesus is God. He's always been God. He was with God since forever. Everything that was created through him. And now he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And based on the authority that has been invested in him, he now invests authority in us also, because he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as a direct result of moving on from, therefore, because of this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Do you see, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he is calling his disciples to go and make disciples. Do you get that? Disciples make disciples. Those who learn also impart to others. You know, I've told you so many times that the Romanian word for disciple, ucenic, is the word we would think of as apprentice. And you think about it, in a busy workshop, maybe a carpenter's workshop, you would have apprentices who have been apprentices now for a year and a half who would be able to impart to the boy that's just arrived today. You don't have to have your city and guilds diploma to be able to impart a bit of what you've already learned. And I would suggest that if you met old Mr. John, who's 65 years old and looking forward to retiring, and you said to him, how did you become a carpenter? And he said, I did an apprentice where I learned from someone more experienced for 2 years. And then you'd say to him, and did you learn everything you needed to learn in those 2 years? And he would say, do you know what? I'm still learning today. I'm still learning today. And I'm imparting and I'm learning. So we've got disciples making disciples. Based on the authority, verse 18, all authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, I'm sending disciples to make disciples. Well, look at verse 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this authority of God, and this unity of God the Father and God the Son, God the Father investing authority in Jesus and Jesus investing authority in us to take that good news out to the world. And he's going to be with us all the way. He's going to be with us all the way. I am with you always to the very end of the age. And look, please, at these words. We get a bit more detail. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we do in this church. And by the way, if you want to be baptized, come and talk to me. It's what we do. It's what we love. It's what we preach. It's what we teach. Because baptism is the way of saying, yes, I want to be part of this. It's the way you publicly declare what you've probably already declared in your own heart, but you declare it in the waters of baptism. So baptism is so important. But what else? Discipleship is important. Go and make disciples, we're told. Not go and make converts. Not have a rally and invite people to fill in a little card or say a little prayer or take a little pebble or a painted stone, or whatever they do these days. No. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's why we have small groups in our church. That's why we have Sunday teaching. That's why we have teaching throughout the week in different contexts. That's why each of us is encouraged to read the Bible on our own. Should we just be telling stories about Jesus? Is that it? Should we just be telling Bible stories? Absolutely not. We've got to be doing more than just telling stories. We've got to be teaching. We've got to be making disciples. We've got to be baptizing and encouraging people to obey everything in the Word of God. Let's move on to our next slide, please. We're now in Luke's Gospel, and the words that we're going to look at now, repentance will be preached. You are witnesses. Stay. Repentance will be preached. That's interesting, right? Repentance. What will be preached? Repentance. So often we think about preaching the good news. And we must preach the good news. But what are we being told here? Repentance will be preached. So Luke 24, verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened and thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds. And we sang that song, didn't we, before this message. And Emmanuel prayed for us. You know, we've got to be praying, "God, open our minds, open our eyes, open our hearts." Then Jesus opened their minds so he could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." As I've already said, and the words are on the screen there, repentance will be preached. What will be preached, my friends? The good news? Of course the good news will be preached. And what is part of the good news? Repentance is part of the good news. Repentance is a facility that God has ordained. Repentance is a thing. It's a device, if I can use that word, that through repentance, created by God, ordained by God, that people can repent, and as a result of repentance, can have their sins forgiven. You could ask, what is one of the best kept secrets in the church today? What is one of the best kept secrets in our world today? It is this facility, this invitation, this thing that God has ordained, through which we can have forgiveness. And it's called repentance. What gospel should we preach? Should we preach a soft gospel? Should we preach a trendy gospel? Should we preach a user-friendly gospel? Should we preach a warm and fuzzy gospel? Should we preach the "it's all about how you feel" gospel? I don't think so. The Word of God says the gospel is like this: repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. We need to ask ourselves a question. Are we witnesses? Have we seen and heard what God has done in the Word of God? Are we aware of what God has done in our own lives? Have we been forgiven? If we have not been forgiven, I would suggest that we have not repented. And if we have repented, then Scripture tells us that we have been forgiven. We are witnesses. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay. See that word there? Stay. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Maybe I should have put two words there. Stay until. Because here's one of the tragedies, you see. If I say to people, if I say to the church, if we say as a church, let's go out with this gospel of repentance, people will say, I feel I'm not quite ready yet. I need to spend more time in the Word. I need to spend more time in the presence of God. I agree with you. We do. But now we need to be in the presence of God and getting out there and sharing the Word of God. How long were they to stay in the city? Until the Holy Spirit came upon them and illuminated to them the Word of God. You notice how Peter preaches so powerfully on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit has taken residence within his soul, illuminating his mind. This Peter, who couldn't even admit that he knew Jesus before the crucifixion, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is preaching the Word of God. And you have to ask yourselves the question, where does that transformation come from? Where does he get the words from? Where does he get the knowledge from? Well, the answer is from the Holy Spirit of God living within him, illuminating what he's already learned from Scripture, giving him a hunger to search and find out more as well. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are we witnesses? We must be witnesses. Are we willing to stay in the presence of God? We must be willing to stay in the presence of God, in the Word of God, reading the Bible, saying as we read the Bible, please God, speak to me through your word. And empower me through your word. But this process of staying, you see, because it's not about like stay with God for a while, like you might stay and have a chat with your granddad and then go out and granddad's still at home and you're now on your own. It's not like that, is it? Because we're spending time in the presence of God, but when we go out, the presence of God is within us also. And time to be on our own in the presence of God is important so that we are not distracted. But also we must go out with the Word of God in our heart and the presence of God in our lives. Okay, let's move to our next slide, please. And we're now in John's Gospel. These words here, go to my brothers, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You might have noticed that what we're doing today, we're looking at the same kind of narrative, but we're looking at it as in the different Gospels. So we're sort of we're not sort of moving on to the next stage, we're moving on to the next account, if that makes sense. So here we are in John chapter 20. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary Magdalene was a messenger. She was a vessel. She was a spokesperson for God. She didn't have to say very much. She just had to say what she had been given. And surely that is what we are being called to do also. You notice that we are family. Jesus says, "Go instead to my brothers." And here we've got brothers and sisters. And he says, "I'm ascending to my Father, who is also your Father by the mystery of grace. I am ascending to my God, who is also your God by the mystery of grace." Look what we have in Christ Jesus. And of course, in this context, in this account also, we see Jesus sending the disciples out. Verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Yes, even in the context of fear, we are being called to be witnesses. Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Just as God the Father sent Jesus to planet Earth on that occasion that we think of as Christmas, you know, when Jesus came to planet Earth and was born in Bethlehem, we too are being sent to that same planet Earth. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Let us now move very quickly to our last slide on here. "Do not leave, but wait. You will be my witnesses." I'm going to jump down the text because I'm looking at the clock. So I'm going to go to verse 4. We're in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. "On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.'" And then in verse 7, Jesus says, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Sometimes we ask the wrong questions. We want to know questions about times and dates. Jesus says, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Let's not waste time trying to guess when Jesus will return. It's not for us to know that. But we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. If we welcome him into our hearts, into our lives, we will be witnesses in Great Holland, in all of Bracknell, in Berkshire, in the southeast of England, in the UK, in the world. We are being sent, but we must also wait. And we must wait, but we must also witness. Are you waiting on God? Are you waiting in His presence? Are you witnessing? I said at the beginning about our dear friend in Watford, so unwell, and now in hospital because of a fall, and yet she is witnessing. Probably just a few very simple words, but she is witnessing for her Saviour. Let's just have a look at our summary slides that are coming up now. Good news is for sharing. We are all called to be witnesses. And the next one. What have we learned about Jesus? What has He done for us? And finally, if we don't witness to the people that we know, who will tell them that Jesus loves them? Amen.